Good morning. We are glad that you're here today. Today is a very special holiday for our country, and we want to take just a moment to remember those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. And then there is a video that we're going to show. But we're going to ask just for a brief moment of silence, a moment of remembrance, and then we will start the video here in just a moment. We are indeed grateful for those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice in order for us to be able to worship in freedom. And we're thankful for Jesus who died on the cross that we can have glorious freedom, wonderful freedom. It's good to see you here this morning. It is, I can tell it's a holiday weekend. But we're glad that you're here and a part of the service today. And let me just remind you of a few announcements. Because it is a holiday weekend, we will not be having services this evening. So be sure and remember that. Enjoy the day with your family and with friends. And but in all of the enjoyment, let's not forget why we are celebrating this holiday. Wednesday night services will not be here. We'll be going to family camp. And if you don't know how to get to Foothills Camp and Retreat Center, that is in Louisville, Tennessee. Not Louisville, Tennessee, right? Anyway, that's in Louisville. Over near where Susie was raised, there's Louisville, Georgia. And if you put it in your GPS, if you want to get the GPS to take you to Louisville, Georgia, you have to say Louisville, Georgia. And it will get you there at that point. But anyway, Louisville, Tennessee is over near Knoxville. And if Mark Adams is the evangelist for Family Camp. Adam's Voice, who has been here to sing before, they are the song evangelist for Family Camp. And if you can go and be a part of that, it'll be great. It goes through next Sunday morning, but we're going to be having services next Sunday morning here. But any of those services would be great for you to go and to be a part of. Remember prayer time here at the church at 9 o'clock next Friday. And then if you'd like to walk, the doors are open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday down at the Family Life Center at 10 o'clock until 11 for you to be able to walk down there. Bread of Life meal is this coming Saturday, and we appreciate all of you who have signed up and or have given money for that meal, and we do appreciate it. I believe they have everything that they need as far as the food is concerned, and I believe they have a full roster of people to help. So we appreciate all of you who are helping with the Bread of Life meal this coming Saturday. Let me pass this along to you. In July, we're not going to be serving. We're actually going to be giving Bread of Life an offering to take care of the meal for the month of July. July is so very, very busy. And our first Saturday is July the 1st. And so the Bread of Life box is out there. And if you'd like to help, maybe you can't go or you haven't been able to provide any of the ingredients for the meal. If you'd like to help, the Bread of Life box is out in the foyer, and you can just drop some money in it, and that would be great. We want to say thank you for your faithfulness in giving, and the Lord has blessed our church. We do appreciate it, and we thank you for your faithfulness in giving to our church. Let me give you just a rundown, a real quick rundown of some June events. So hold on. Here we go, okay? The Bread of Life meal is the third. Super Summer Something begins. It is that time. Super Summer Something begins June the 7th. That's Wednesday night. NDI Council will be meeting at 5 o'clock that afternoon. Workday here at the church will be on June the 10th. There's also men's breakfast on June the 10th. We're going to work out that schedule. June the 12th is church board meeting, and June the 17th is Young at Heart meeting, and there's some information about the Young at Heart meeting out on the table in the foyer. We are so glad that you're here this morning. We hope the Lord blesses you as we worship Him together.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're a living hope. tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
Your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come find this place and fill it.
Amen. Well, several of you have asked for an update on Ellie, so I'm going to do that real quick before we tear off into our worship service this morning. Ellie is doing really well, and we are hoping to be able to come home in the next few days. Right now, we're fighting with a low sodium issue, which is a result of the fluid pills that they're giving her to pull off the extra fluid. So, if you're looking for something specific to pray about, pray that the fluid pill that they have switched her to a different medication for that today in hopes to fix that problem. And so pray that that will work, and when it does, that we'll be able to come home sometime soon. I don't know about you, but I kind of like sleeping in my own bed. So anyway, I am thoroughly convinced that nothing happens in the life of the church or in the life of believers without prayer. So that's what we're going to do now. Let's stand together and pray, and then we'll worship together. God, as we come to you this morning on this Pentecost Sunday, we're reminded of the fact that nothing is accomplished except through prayer. God, on that first Pentecost, we're reminded of the fact that those folks were not gathered for another worship service. They weren't gathered to hear another sermon, but they were gathered to gather in prayer. And so this morning, as we gather together, we gather with the realization that we need a fresh wind and a fresh fire in our midst. And so our prayer today is simply this: God, would you do it again in our day? Father, today I pray that we would meet with you and that we would be able to leave here changed people, and that our change would be able to be used for the transformation of the world. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you so much for everything you've done for us. And for everything you're going to do, it's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are a voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice in the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation. Of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, for the fields are as wide in your world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice in the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation. Jehovah, there's no God like 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 Jehovah. 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 There's no God like Jehovah.
You know, I'm thankful that the church has never been in a better place to be able to minister going forward than it is now. You know, I think we get caught up in the fact that the world around us is a dark place. You know, we get hung up on the fact that there are a lot of people in the world around us who don't necessarily see things the way that we see them. They don't view things through the lens that we view them through. But the thing that I think that we need to understand from that is that the field is wide to harvest, and our opportunities are plentiful. I think a lot of times we just pass those opportunities by. You know, the world that we live in is a lost and dying world, but there's nothing better to share with them than the greatness of the God that we serve. And so my prayer is that as we leave this place today, that we would do that very thing, that we would go out into a world who is lost, that's dying, that needs a Savior, and that we would proclaim a hope to them that is greater than anything that this world has to offer. And that's really what it's all about. That's what the message of the gospel is about changing and transforming people who are lost and dying.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. And trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Our God.
This last song we're going to sing is called Never Once. And it basically just says, never once have you ever walked alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. A couple weeks ago, as you know, I've been in the hospital with my daughter for going on a month. But a couple weeks ago, we were kind of going through a patch where it seemed like we were taking one step forward and three steps backwards. And to be real honest, I got a little frustrated. And so I called the doctor in and I just said, look, I don't know where you're at on this experience, but this is where I'm at. And it just seems like things aren't going the way that they need to go. And it seems like that it's just not connecting and I don't know what's going on. And this is what he said, which really kind of grabbed a hold of me in a different kind of way. And he said, I know you don't see the big picture right now because you're living it, but in the grand scheme of things, everything's going to be okay. And that's exactly what God is telling us. He's saying, there's never going to be a time where I'm not going to be with you. There may be a time when you're living in it and you may not see the big picture, but this is what I promise you. Everything is going to be okay, because there's never going to be a time when you're ever going to walk alone. There's never going to be a time when God's going to leave you by yourself. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to abandon you. And that's a promise that he's given. And it's one that we can hold on to. And I'm thankful for that.
Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God. You are faithful. Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God. You are faithful. You are faithful. And struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. Carried by your constant grace, held within your perfect peace, never once, no, we never walk alone. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God. You are faithful. You are faithful, God. You are faithful. You are faithful, God. You are faithful.
are faithful to us. You have not left us. You have not forsaken us. The valleys may have been deep. The rivers may have been wide. But we thank you, God, that every step of the way, that there has been one who has held our hand. There has been one who has walked with us, who has carried us, who has been there just as we needed you to be there. And we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory for all that you have done in our lives. We're so thankful, Lord, for these that have gathered here this morning. But we know, Lord, that as we have come to this place this morning, that we might have had smiles on our faces, but our hearts might be breaking. But we're grateful, Lord, that you can mend broken hearts, that you can forgive sin, that you can fill with your Holy Spirit, that you can do the work in our hearts and in our lives that needs to be done even this morning. And so, Lord, we're grateful for that fact, and we give you glory and honor and praise. Lord, there are needs in our congregation. There are physical needs. There are spiritual needs. There are financial needs. Lord, there are people who came to this place this morning with many needs. But, Lord, that's the one thing that we do all have in common, that we are needy people. We need your salvation. We need your filling of your Holy Spirit. We need you to work in our lives. And we're grateful, Lord, that on this Pentecost Sunday, that we can look into your word and we can find what you want to do in us, through us, and for us. You established the church, Lord, on that day. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us this morning, that we might receive from you what you have to say to us. And then, Father, I pray that you'd help us to go out from this place, not just to keep it to ourselves, but that we might fill the streets with the good news of salvation. And we rejoice in the things that you are going to do. We give you glory for what you are going to accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning from Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 8. Actually 4 through 8. And then we're going to go to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 4, and then Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Here's what the word of the Lord says. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Then Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I ask you this question as I started my sermon last Sunday. What is Pentecost? I know we talked about that fact that, it is something that we as Nazarenes really ought to know about. You know, Pentecost designates the 50th day after Passover, which was a feast day. It was also known as the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Harvest. It was that day in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit was poured out on 120 followers of Christ who had gathered there in that upper room in Jerusalem. It was, for all intents and purposes, on this day, on Pentecost Sunday, that the church was born, and it was born in a blaze of glory. That was one of the things that as I studied the history of the Church of the Nazarene, a long, 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 long time ago. The first Church of the Nazarene there in Los Angeles, California, was also called the Glory Barn. Isn't that amazing? A place in which the glory of God was displayed in such a way that they just called it that. And people would shout. Now, I'm not talking about shout at each other, okay? But they would shout, they would praise God, they would give God the glory. And nowadays we don't hear much shouting except at each other. And we see that on the news, we see that in social media. It's just constant all the time. And I had someone tell me one time, well, preacher, one of the reasons that we don't shout anymore is because we have nothing to shout about. God help us. God help us. It's an amazing thing when you look at what happened there on the day of Pentecost. I gave you this last week, but I want to read it one more time. Dr. Jerry Vines, who was the former pastor of First Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, also the former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, said, it has been said that the average Christian, the average church, is bogged down somewhere between Calvary and Pentecost. They have been to Calvary for pardon, but they have not been to Pentecost for power. Bethlehem, he said, means God with us. Calvary means God for us. But Pentecost means God in us. We are living, and I said this a little bit last week, we're living in a generation in which it seems that God is again pouring out His Spirit in a mighty way. All the things that have happened just in the past few months with the Asbury Revival, and then that spreading to campuses all across the United States. It's been amazing to watch as young people, and it's so good to see the young people grasping hold of the fact that God wants to do something in their heart and life, not just around them. But I want to tell you something this morning, and I think we've got to remember that Pentecost continues to be important to the church. The Church of the Nazarene, since its early days, believed that it was established in order to promote scriptural holiness throughout the world. That was why we believed we came into existence. And at times we've been very productive at that task. But at times we've sat on the sidelines as the world has gone by. Now, let's be honest. We as a denomination are coming upon our General Assembly in just a couple of weeks, and I urge you to be praying about our General Assembly and the direction that our church is going. We're going to be electing two general superintendents, and that's such an important thing that can happen in the life of the church. But we are here, the Church of the Nazarene, not just this church, but the Church of the Nazarene has been put here, I believe, in order to promote scriptural holiness throughout the world. But I also want to remind you something about this thing of Pentecost. It's already on the screen, and that is the fact that harvest is at the heart of Pentecost. I came to realize this just a couple of weeks ago as I was thinking about all this, and came to the realization that when you look at Pentecost, it was there. It was the Feast of Harvest. It was that early harvest that came about in May and June. It was all about the harvest. And the longer I thought about that, the more I came to realize that Pentecost is still all about the harvest. It is still all about what God wants to do in and through you and me as people and the harvest that is out there. Folks, don't ever say that people don't need to be saved. Don't ever look at the fields or the people who are all around us and say, well, everybody goes to church. Can I tell you something? People will tell you that they go to church, but they will lie through their teeth. There's a whole lot of C&E Christians. Do you know what I mean by that? A whole lot of Christmas and Easter Christians. And we're coming to find out that even Christmas and Easter now is taking a back seat to Mother's Day. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't honor our mothers, but it's beginning to look as though that Mother's Day is the highest attended day of the year anymore. Somewhere or another, even the C&E Christians have got it wrong. We're also facing amongst the younger generation what many people are calling the nuns. And I'm not spelling it N-U-N-S, I'm spelling it the N-O-N-E-S. That if you ask them what they are a part of, they will check none. They're not a part of any religious group. They're not a part of anything. So folks, let me tell you, Pentecost is still all about the harvest. And harvest is at the heart of Pentecost. Well, we started the sermon last Sunday. Aren't you glad I didn't preach all this last Sunday? You know? We started it last Sunday. We're going to conclude it this morning. But I want us to see some things. And the first point, let me just go ahead and tell you, it's a review of last Sunday. So if you missed last Sunday, you're going to get caught up in about 5 minutes. And the people last Sunday wished I had done the same. The first thing that I want you to notice when you start talking about Pentecost is the promise of Pentecost. In Peter's sermon, you go down to Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Peter is, after they have said, what do we need to do? What is this? Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, whom the Lord will call. That far off group of people is really continuing to talk about us this morning. We talked about the fact that Peter is saying that this outpouring of the Spirit of God is not just a special blessing for a special few in a special age. I said this last Sunday and I want to repeat it one more time. Many people have allowed the devil and have allowed religious tradition to convince us that all of that was just for the church then. That's not what Peter said. That's not what Jesus prayed for. Jesus prayed that we would be able to experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Peter said that it would be for those who are afar off. God is still calling people to salvation. And if God is still calling people to salvation, God is still calling people to be filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. What was the promise of Pentecost? The promise of Pentecost was the outpouring of the Spirit of God on all flesh, both men and women, boys and girls. You see, sometimes we leave the kids out of this thing. I firmly believe that a child can understand that they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe it is up to us as a body of believers to show them that they can experience an infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And I'm going to tell you, if that can happen when they're young, they can miss a whole lot of this junk in the world. Amen, William. Good preaching. What was the promise? It was the pouring out of the Spirit. Well, who made the promise? And I told you last Sunday that a promise is only as good as the one who makes it. Susie reminded all of us, if you remember, that if I made you a promise for $1 million, it just wasn't going to happen. It's just not going to happen because I'm not good for it. But when God makes a promise, you don't have to worry about it. There in Acts chapter 2, verses 32 through 33. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it, exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you see and hear. It is God who made the promise. It is God who has poured out His Spirit on those who were there that day. Well, the promise was fulfilled after Jesus ascended to heaven. He sent the promise of the Father to those disciples as they were obedient, and as they waited in that upper room. If you read my newsletter article, I said something in there that might have surprised you, but I really do believe it. I really believe had the disciples just simply gone to the upper room and did their own thing and not worried about what Jesus said, God could have bypassed them and gone to another group of people. And the church would have died with a whimper. At least that group of people would have. God came to them because they were obedient to Him. And the key in your life, the key in my life for us to receive the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to be obedient. Willful, lovingly obedient. Dr. R.A. Torrey said the infilling of the Holy Spirit is a definite and distinct experience. A Christian will know whether or not they've received the Holy Spirit. You begin to think about that, folks, for just a minute. And that is the promise of Pentecost. It was the promise of the infilling of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the believers who were there. Well, we'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Folks, I want you to understand this morning that if we are going to accomplish anything, it will not be in our own strength. It will not be in our own power. I love you folks, and I'm so thankful for what God has done for us and done through us. But I do want you to understand it is not because of something that this preacher has done. It is not something that that young preacher has done. It is not something that these old preachers have done. It is what God has done. You see, that's what it is all about. It is the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the modern day church, sadly some of us, the modern day church has for the most part, in a lot of ways, lost the power of God. It is as though in many places that churches have become nothing more than social clubs, where they have events and where they do things, and there's just a little bit of religious overtone. Please understand, that was never the purpose of Jesus. He expected the church to be filled with His power. There's an example of this in the Old Testament. When you read about Samson, in Judges chapter 16... he had been flirting with this woman, Delilah, and he had told her all kinds of things that were not true. And finally, he got tired of all her moaning and groaning about him not telling her the truth. She broke down his defenses. He yielded to temptation. He told her exactly why he had the power that he had. And in verse 20... when the Philistines came and they were going to overtake him, it says that he got up and said to himself, "I will shake myself as I have done before and go out and defeat them." And can I tell you what happened? If you remember Bible stories from Sunday school, you know what happened. They gouged out his eyes and they put him in prison. And finally they put him as a public spectacle to grind. Round and around and around. He went out to face a foe and had no power to do so. Did you get that? He went out to face the same foe that he thought he had faced many other times, and he thought he still had what he needed in order to meet that foe. And when he got there, he had nothing. He was not aware that the Spirit of God had left him. It can happen in a church as well. We can go out to face the foe and not be aware that the Spirit of God has departed. We may have, as the Apostle Paul talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we may have a form of religion, but there is no power in it. And folks, please understand that religion without relationship will rob you of the power of God in your life. You can go through the motions. You can do everything as you have always done. But unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ that is more than just lip service, you can walk out to face the foe without the realization that the Spirit of God has departed. A whole lot of times we don't realize it until it is too late. And the other sad thing that is, many times we go out not caring that it has departed. I really do believe that we're in a time of restoration. And I believe we're praying for God to restore His power and His Spirit on the church. And Jesus said that after the Pentecost had come, that the church would go out and be a church in power to do what He wanted them to do. They were a church that was filled with the power to worship. The Holy Spirit will help you to worship in spirit and truth. I mean, the chief aim that you and I have is to glorify God, right? Thank you for one amen. That's our chief purpose. That's our chief goal and aim. But when you begin to look through the Word of God, you're going to find that in various places that the devil deceived people concerning worship. There's a whole lot of people nowadays that believe they can simply come into a worship service. They can be a part of what's going on Sunday morning, and they can check that box off and walk out and not come back until the next Sunday morning. You say, William, you're being awfully harsh this morning. No, I'm telling you the truth. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you the truth. Folks, please understand, you can't check a box off and say, well, I came and I worshiped today, so everything is fine. No, it doesn't work that way. There has to be something more that is happening in our hearts and in our lives than just checking off a box that we worship today. Worship is not a spectator sport. Worship involves the involvement of everything that we have, everything that we are. Romans chapter 12, I urge you therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And what does Paul say next? This is your spiritual act of worship. You see, if we're going to have the power of Pentecost, then there's going to have to be more than just coming in and checking off a box. There's going to have to be more than just coming in and singing a few songs and hearing a sermon and going out and not living like it the rest of the week. Worship demands participation. You go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and it says that they were all together in one place. You go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 14, and Pastor Tyler had not seen my sermon this morning, but you go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 14, and there you find out that they were praying. They were praying. They were talking to God. They were getting everything out and open before God so that God could come and fill the emptiness that they had voided. You go to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, and there you're going to find that they are worshiping the Lord. You're going to find that they are worshiping through fellowship, that they are worshiping through witnessing. You see, the Holy Spirit will help you worship in the Spirit of God. He will help lift your soul to God so that God can touch your heart. And God can touch my heart as we worship Him together. But that's not all that Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my what? Witnesses. In Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I hear so many people say, well, you know, Pastor, it just doesn't seem like I have the strength to witness. Well, let me just go ahead and tell you something. I don't either. Let that sink in for just a minute. I don't either. Now, I know y'all see me up here on Sunday mornings and y'all see me going around with different, you know, and doing different things. But please understand, I am more of an introvert than I am an extrovert. I know you don't believe it, but it's really the truth. I really, to do what I do, God had to call me to do it, and God had to empower me to be able to do it because it is not in my personality. Y'all don't see the squeezing of the hands. I mean, you don't. You don't see the pacing that I do. I don't have the power to do what I'm doing right now. It is only through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that I can stand before you and that I have stood in the pulpit for the past 40-something years to be able to proclaim the Word of God. It is only through His power and His presence that I'm able to do that. It is not in me. It's not in you either. I mean, there are those people. I mean, they never meet a stranger. I mean, it's amazing to me how they, you know, they go into a room and they work the whole room. They know everybody's name before they leave. You know what I do? I go and stand. Maybe somebody will come and talk to me. And to witness to somebody? Oh my goodness. That's really getting in their personal space, isn't it? Yeah. But can I tell you? It may be difficult for us But it's going to be more difficult for them if we don't tell them, if we don't get out of our comfort zone. The only way that we're going to be able to do anything in relation to what Jesus says here about us being witnesses is through His power and through His presence. Someone said, and I don't have a clue who said it. Someone said that the Holy Spirit will take the chicken out of your life. Took just a moment to catch that, didn't it? Yeah. Instead of being weak, vacillating, scared, these disciples who had all kinds of issues were suddenly filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and they flooded the streets of Jerusalem with something that they had never had before, and God enabled all of those people who were there to hear in their own language the wonderful news of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing? They looked at those Galileans and they said, these folks are not learned men. These folks shouldn't be able to do what they're doing. Well, they didn't do what they were doing. It was God through them that was doing it. You see, I believe that the Holy Spirit can give us boldness. I believe that the Holy Spirit can give us confidence. I believe that the Holy Spirit can give us courage to do what in a natural sense we could never do. But in a spiritual sense, God will enable us to do. So there's the promise of Pentecost. There is the power of Pentecost. But I want you to see the purpose of Pentecost. I started this last Sunday, and I really want to finish it up today. The purpose of Pentecost is all about the harvest. Harvest is at the heart of Pentecost. Peter in his sermon there quotes from Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, where Joel says, "And afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." And we quote that. Peter quoted it. But in Peter's sermon and last Sunday morning, I didn't give you the context of what Joel was saying. So you got to go back and you got to look at the context of those verses. Listen to what Joel says in chapter 2, verses 23 and 20 through 27. He said, "Be glad, people of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given you the autumn rains because He is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed." Those are the words right before that. But then you've got to go back and look at the whole book. Because if you go back and you look at the whole book, you're going to find that Joel is writing to the people of God about the great and dreadful day of the Lord. About what is about to happen to them. Because they had not done all that God wanted them to do. And all throughout the book, Joel is calling people to repentance. He tells them that a day of punishment is coming. And you begin to think of all the things that God did to Israel and how they were punished and all the things that they had done that were against what God had commanded them to do. Punishment was coming. Punishment had come. But in the verses that I just read to you, the Lord says through the prophet Joel, punishment has come. But so is restoration. It is coming. It is coming. You see, blessing will come to those who repent. He speaks of the abundance of rain that is going to come, both the spring and the autumn rains. Now, I want you to know, and you already know this, that I'm not a farm boy. I was raised in town. But my family, every year as we were growing up, we had a garden. Susie was raised on a farm. If we're going to grow plants at our house, Susie is the one who plants them. I grow grass. I mow it all the time. I love to mow grass. That does not mean I want to come to your house to mow your grass, okay? I enjoy it. I can be out there with that lawnmower running, and I can be talking to the Lord about you. I mean, about things. And but I found out something all those growing up years as Mom and Dad would plant that garden. I found that you need the early rains to prepare the soil for planting. And you need the latter rains so that those mature plants then can produce the crop that you want them to produce. The early rain was Pentecost, when God poured out His Spirit on all flesh. And across the years, we have seen the rains as they have come, and we've seen the outpouring of the Spirit of God in various places at various times. And my prayer is now that we are in a period of time in which we will see those rains poured out so that there can be a harvest of souls. You see, we just don't need Pentecost so that we can say that we're enjoying the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I think that's what a lot of people want when they talk about the old times, the old days. They remember the good times in which God through His Spirit came and revived the church and renewed the church and the church blossomed. And they remember those times, and they were good, and God did a great thing. But please understand something, folks. We need more than just something so that we can enjoy God's presence. We need the rain of the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that all those people that we know around us who are lost and undone without Jesus, so that that harvest can be reaped. Every day at 10:02, my watch starts buzzing. Now, if you don't do this, I want to encourage you to do it, okay? Every day, 10:02, my watch buzzes. And the reason that my watch buzzes is to remind me what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And then Jesus said, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field." Well, that's great and that's wonderful. I mean, it really is. I do this every day so that I can be reminded, so that the Lord of the harvest would send out workers into the harvest field. And it was great that we had mission service this past Monday night, and to hear the missionaries talk about what's going on in Africa and how God is moving in Africa and the way that things are going. Let me tell you something, if you don't know it. The Church of the Nazarene is growing faster in Africa than anywhere else in the world. Christianity is growing faster in Africa than anywhere else in the world. And so we need to pray that workers would be sent. But I want you to know that we usually stop right after verse 2. See, I talked to you a minute ago about the context, okay? So you got to read into verse 3. Do you know what the first word of verse 3 in chapter 10 is? Go. With an exclamation point. Go. Do you know what the next four words are? I am sending you. Isn't that amazing? Go. I am sending you. You see, the whole purpose, the implication of all of this is that we are to be the ones who are going. He is sending us. And it is time for us to reap the harvest, the rain that the Holy Spirit is pouring out. It's producing fruit. And we have to be ready and willing and available to go out and to reap that harvest. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, Peter got up and preached his first sermon. And 3,000 people followed Jesus. I told you last week, I remember my first sermon. It was an introduction, 3 points, and a conclusion, and it was 5 minutes long. 3,000 people did not get saved that night. I was scared, slam stupid. But the Holy Spirit was there. And folks, God has not given us the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to enjoy alone while the rest of the world around us rushes to hell. We cannot afford to forget that we are not here just to meet on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. We are here to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to anyone that we come in contact with. And if we say what we believe, if we say what we believe, that time is short, then when are we going to wake up and start doing it? You say, William, that was ugly. I understand that. I've had to live with that since Monday. If we say that we believe time is short, then we're going to have to get out and do something. We're going to have to mean business with God. There are souls that are hanging in the balance. And the purpose of Pentecost was not just so that the church could be filled with the Holy Spirit. The purpose of Pentecost was that the church would go out in the power and the presence of God to reap the harvest that is there. The first Saturday night that we were here, Susie and I went to Walmart. And if you've never been to the Walmart here on Saturday night, you need to go to the Walmart here on Saturday night. If for nothing else, just to walk around, okay? You don't have to buy a thing. Just go in there and walk around. You're going to see all kinds of people. All kinds of people. And let me just go ahead and tell you, every person that you see needs to know Jesus. Every person you see needs to know Jesus. And the old song says, and we love the old song, and there's nothing wrong with it, but the old song says, rescue the perishing. And the world around us is perishing. We cannot sit idle and just let that happen. Conclusion. Have you experienced Pentecost? Peter says there in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that the promise is for you. Speaking to those who are right there. But then he says it's also for those who are far off. And we're pretty far off from that point in time. A long way away, time-wise. But the promise is for us. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, but you just don't seem to have the power that you need to do what needs to be done, whether it's just in your own personal life or whether it's in accomplishing the purpose for which you've been saved, I'm so glad to tell you this morning that God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, can come and fill you and enable you to do what needs to be done. You see, Jesus is God's special gift for the world, for the sinner. But the Holy Spirit is God's special gift for the Christian. And Jesus asked the question in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. He said, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? You see, I really believe that receiving Jesus gives us the power to become a child of God. But allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us and to cleanse us gives us the power that we need in order to serve Him day by day by day. And I don't think that we need to be satisfied with just a little bit. I think we need to be satisfied only when we get all that God has for us. Let's not be satisfied until we've received the promise. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we have together this morning to look into your word. We're grateful, Lord, for your Holy Spirit who came and filled that group of believers, that did his work in their hearts and lives. And Lord, they were up and down, in and out, round about. They wanted to call down fire from heaven one day, and they were upset at each other the next. But you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, did something in them that enabled them to go out and to face a crowd of people that they were afraid of. They had the doors locked behind them. But when the Holy Spirit came, they went out and turned the world upside down. The work that you did in them that day, you also want to do in us today. You want to fill us with the power and the presence of your Spirit. You want to help us, Lord, that even when we don't think we can do what you're calling us to do, somehow, God, you enable us to have strength and power to do what we think in our own self we cannot do. And I pray, Father, that you would help us this morning. That if we have found that we've not been able to live for you like we want to, and we just seem to be going from temptation to failure, from temptation to failure, thank you, God, you will forgive us of our sins, but you want to help us overcome temptation. You want to help us be the witnesses that we need to be. You want to help us to be able to worship you as you want us to worship you, in spirit and in truth. And so, Lord, this morning, there might be one, there might be more, that today they need to offer themselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you. It is their spiritual act of worship. Lord, when we come and we lay our lives down before you, when we empty ourselves, you will fill the void with your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray for these who are sitting before you this morning, those who are watching on Facebook today. Lord, if we just need right where we are to say, oh God, I need your Spirit. I need your power. I need your promise. I need to fulfill your purpose. Thank you, God, that you will do that. The Holy Spirit was given for those disciples that day, but also for those who are afar off. So that's us. So Lord, I pray that as we sing, that if there's one in this place that they need to come and bow here in this altar, there are people who will gather around them and who will pray with them and for them. Or if right where they're sitting this morning, they can do the same, Lord. Whatever you want to do, whatever they need to do, give them the courage and the boldness that they need to do it, so that they can enjoy your presence in a new, fresh way. But Lord, so that the harvest can be reaped. And we thank you and we love you. And we praise you in advance for what you are going to do in this service this morning. And we pray and ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Tyler, what shall we say?
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit.
stand as we sing it one more time.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had to be together today. We honor you. We honor the Holy Spirit as He wants to do His work in our hearts and in our lives. Oh, God. Help us that we might be open and receptive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that you would go with us from this place this morning. I pray, Father, that you would keep us and that you would help us. And as we go into the world that is around us, Lord, remind us every day that we are indeed missionaries as we go into the world that is around us. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory for who you are. May you bless those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. Bless their families. Those who have given the ultimate sacrifice so that we could worship in freedom today, we thank you. We praise you for them. Go with us, we ask you in your name. Amen. God bless you. I'm glad you were here this morning. You are dismissed.